Carroll, bringing it forward. Thompson's making the run. Carroll hangs on to it though. Still Davy Carroll. Could go all the way here. Oh, what a goal!
Hello, I'm Phil Catchpole and welcome to another episode of Ringing the Blues. Hope you're keeping well. On this week's show, we pick the bones out the January transfer window with Wickham fan Will Vince. But first, there's all the action and reaction from the game on Tuesday night under the lights at Adams Park. Wickham Wanderers took on Birmingham. The Chair boys were looking to bounce back from a heavy defeat at Brentford on Saturday and get a much-needed 3 points at Adams Park against Birmingham City. Ita Karanka's men were hovering just above the relegation zone as they came into the game, so this was a great opportunity to get some points on the board. Here are the highlights from Tuesday evening.
Well, it's been quite a week in Albert Square on BBC One as Pat and Peggy went head-to-head. Frank and Roy go bumper-to-bumper. Unmissable. EastEnders.
So yeah, a bit of a stinker. Finished 0-0, wet, horrible conditions at Adams Park. Two world-class saves though from Ryan Allsopp, definitely worth a mention. But after the game, Jeff Doyle spoke to Gareth Ainsworth.
Gareth, I don't think we were expecting a spectacle, and we didn't quite get one.
No, it was going back in time a little bit, wasn't it, that game? You know, it wouldn't have looked out of place in League Two, I think. No disrespect for League Two, but there was very limited moments of quality out there. A couple of chances. I think what was Premier League was probably the two goalkeepers. I think they both made match-saving saves. You know, Ryan Allsopp has come up with a couple. And Etheridge, the one in the first half that's deflected and he's going the wrong way to start with. I mean, it's an unbelievable save. So I think if anyone comes out of credit, it's the goalkeepers. And that's usually the story on a 0-0. But no, pleased from Saturday. We have progressed a great deal. And that was important to get. You know, either team probably nicking it would have been unjust. They probably had the share of the chances over us. But pleased that we've battled well against a very strong Birmingham side. You know, all six-footers, they've got a certain way of playing. And like I say, the pitch, the wind, the weather, there was a distinct lack of quality at times and from both teams. But not pleased with the point, and we'll build on that for Saturday now.
Was it the nature of the positions that both sides find themselves in as well?
Yeah, I think so. Both teams don't want to concede, do they? They don't want to. Birmingham have only conceded 8 goals all season away from home, and I wanted to add another one to that. But no, they're superbly set up, you know, as Ita Karanka does with his teams. You know, very solid. Usually counter-attack you very well. The boy Bella on the left side, I thought, was a real match for Jack Grimmer. Did really well. But at times as well, we have Fred, who was always a threat. When Bale come on, I thought we got more of the ball forward. We're really pleased with the progression from Saturday. And if we can progress again this Saturday, then that'll be a victory. But, you know, we've got 5 games coming up now that in and around us, all the teams. You know, Wickham in the Championship, we celebrate every point and every goal, and that's tonight is a point, so I'll be happy on that one.
Decent debut for Peter?
Yes, I thought he gave me exactly what I thought he would. He's got pace, he's got a bit of calmness, he's got quality on the ball. Going to be a good challenge for Jacobson, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, and I think with only one training session under his belt, Nnamdi Offerbo has not even had one yet. So there's two there who have come in and given me what I thought they would. And I know there's more to come from both. But Jordan, yeah, really pleased. And he'll be very pleased with the clean sheet. There was very little coming down his side from crosses and challenges. But like I say, I think Bella's probably their better winger. And he was very lively. But Jack, again, consistent for us this season. So, no, pleased with the back four. Wish we could have nicked a 1-0, but it wasn't to be.
in important, tough games like that where you just want to try and nick a win? Is it difficult when you have to try and work out whether to stick or twist and what you do as far as substitutions are concerned?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think Uchi and Admiral have done really well and tired a little bit, and I think they probably set up to deal with Uchi quite well. So you stick Bale on, and there's a whole different problem there and a very... a vast amount of experience as well. So Bale probably won his majority of flicks, but Uchi's been fantastic for us this season. You know, he's a revelation, and there's more to come from him. Scotty, I thought maybe the pacing behind would get us in. Nearly did a couple of times, but these defences are a lot more solid in the Championship. We're going to have to make sure we stick our chances in when we get them. You know, it was a tough game, and hopefully we can build on it for Saturday. Like I say, it's going to be a tough run of games now. But that's the Championship.
The sending off, they'll say that it was similar to the one that Grimmer did, but there seemed to be more force in it.
Yeah, I thought it was very similar to Jack's, but I think the speed of the tackle, the speed of Fred, has probably made it look bad. I don't know. I'll have to see it again on video. And then my quandary was, with 5 minutes to go with injury time going up, do I open up and go 4-4-2 and try and exploit the extra man? I think if it had been 10 minutes earlier, I think we'd have changed formation. But with 5 minutes to go, the last thing after Saturday was, I didn't want to get beat off 10 men. Well, that would have put us lower than a snake's belly. So we're happy with the point. Like I said, it's a progression. And I've got some fresh legs for Saturday as well. Whether I use them or not, we'll see. But pleased with where we are. And had a great window. Long-term planning at this club is looking good. Hopefully we can get points on Saturday.
The final one. These six games have... Well, you know how crucial they are.
Yeah.
Is this the first step, do you think? Five more now to try and pick up maybe three wins?
Yeah, I mean, the games around us, Forest and Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, you know, even Millwall getting dragged into things. So there is some real winnable games, but we are Wycombe Wanderers. I read something in the paper the other day that said Wycombe should celebrate every goal and every point because they shouldn't be nowhere near the Championship. And that's a compliment to me, a real compliment. And if we can keep taking points off big teams... it's fantastic. You know, we've just taken a point off Birmingham City, who two or three years ago we probably would have been worried about an FA Cup tie against them, but we've matched them, we beat them up there. I think it's a good haul off them. We need to start winning some games if we want to survive. But like I say, Rob and Pete have been fantastic. Long term planning is really in place here, and looking forward to seeing what we can do Saturday. And just one note, that's Richard Dobson's 500th game as assistant manager as well, you know, so he'll be very pleased with a 0-0. Wish we could have won it for him, but we wouldn't be where we were if it weren't for Richard Dobson either.
Not one for the purists, then, I think it's fair to say. Some Wycombe fans frustrated by the performance and the result. Well, here's what the Birmingham fans had to say about the game. Jeff Lynn's hair.
On the plus side, we found a team worse than us. On the negative side, we couldn't beat them.
Antonio Gramsci.
The two results against Wycombe this season have been terrible. They are really, really bad. And if we can't score enough goals against a team that is the worst in the division by a country mile, we are in deep trouble.
Number 166.
We didn't outplay Wycombe tonight, and the only way we were going to score was by crossing the ball from deep and hoping it fell to one of our players in the box. There was no intent to try to create through good football and good movement off the ball. We are definitely going down. Karanka is the worst manager we've ever had. I'd rather have Lee Clark.
Salad Dodger.
Dreadful management. Wycombe were abysmal, and yet we struggled against them. Karanka didn't try to win the game. He played not to lose. No plan B. Instead, it's let's just hope we don't concede. We didn't need a back four tonight. We could have gone to a back three against that lot. We are a pitiful team presently. No spark, no passion, no quality.
Blue Nose Allen.
We've just watched two of the three relegated teams this season. That was total crap from the Blues against the worst team in the Championship. How much longer can this idiot steal a living, masquerading as our manager?
LH4.
I've stuck up for Granker against the people calling him a negative coward. But I don't know how we can come to the bottom of the league, Wickham, who are missing a number of key players and conceded seven a few days ago, and play Duke up front on his own for 90 minutes. Karanka's game management is utterly shocking.
Blue-versed.
A Boulder manager wins us that game as Wickham offered absolutely nothing in the second half. Mind you, their keeper had the game of his life. Two brilliant saves.
Halcyon.
Two great saves from their keeper. Two penalty decisions that look serves. Several shots just past the post. A senior for us, but a yellow card for them for a similar foul. When you're down, things just don't go for you. It all could have been so different.
Worcester Blue.
Wickham have taken exactly a quarter of their points off us this season. Sorry, but Karanka out.
So the transfer window has closed. Rob Coohey gave a statement saying that he's very happy with the business that Wickham Wanderers have done over the January month. We've added a defender, a midfielder, an attacker, extended a loan and extended contracts of players as well. So to pick the bones out of a January transfer window, we've got Wickham fan Will Vince. Will, how you doing, mate?
Very good, Phil. Thank you very much for having me on. How are you?
Yeah, all good, mate. It's good to get the view of a fan. Just give us a bit of background about your life with Wickham Wanderers. When have you started supporting and where do you normally watch when you're at Adams Park?
Yeah, so I went to my first game as a six-year-old back in 1996, friendly at home to Southampton. And I've been a season ticket holder every year since, and I'm now 30. So, yeah, quite a long time now. Season ticket holder in Woodland Stand, sort of fairly central. I can go to a fair amount of away games, or certainly did, and, you know, when things were a bit more normal. So, yeah, definitely seen a lot over the years. Nothing like this season, though. It's been quite bizarre, but, you know, seeing the team play in the Championship is something that we could only dream of in years gone by. So, going to make the most of it.
So, you've been watching this season from the sofa, bar the games that we were... Well, the limited amount of fans. You got into one of those?
Yeah, I got into both of those games. So, you know, very grateful to be able to see, you know, the team live in the Championship. Yeah, managed to see all the other games on iFollow, which is a bit of a surreal experience, really, because, you know, watching Wickham on TV is something that you don't get very often. So to see them on TV on a weekly basis, I know it's via iFollow, is a bit bizarre. Obviously, we'd all rather be there, but, you know, at least we get to see them play, which is something. And yeah, been quite the season so far, I would say.
Right then, so the January transfer window, let's talk about the players that have come in. We'll start at the back. Jordan Obita, he was a player that we were linked with in the summer, and left back was the only position, really, I thought that we didn't have any cover at all in. And I think the injury to Joe Jacobson has kind of forced a hand, really. And it's a weird bit of business because he signed a deal with Oxford in November, played about 12 to 15 games, and has now joined on a 2.5-year deal. What do you make of the signing? And you saw him play last night as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really. I see, you know, he signed for Oxford on the 9th of November, so not that long ago, really. I know that we were interested earlier on in the year. You know, obviously the Jacobson injury against Tottenham, we don't know quite how bad that is at the moment, but maybe that's forced the hand of Gareth and his team to get a bit of covering. But, you know, Obita, you look at his track record, he's made, you know, a couple of hundred appearances for Reading. You know, he's played a hell of a lot of games at Championship level. So, you know, he's, you know, perfect replacement, really. Age, I think he's 28 years old, so he's got a few years left. 2.5-year deal, good bit of business for me, I think.
The elephant in the room is what division are Wickham going to be in next season? Now, you know, there's the optimists, the realists and the downright sort of miserable ones. But, you know, it was always going to be tough in the Championship. We could be in League One next season. It's looking a distinct possibility. But Wickham, with the new the wage structure and the salary cap and the squad sizes, Wickham will potentially be a big fish if they are in League One next season. Do you think that had any bearing on this deal for Jordan Obita? So are we paying more than Oxford?
Difficult to say. I mean, I'm sure we probably are for certainly the remainder of this season. What you kind of see these days is a relegation clause in where if the team does go down a division, then players take a percentage cut, that kind of thing. So I'm fairly certain that that's probably there in the deal somewhere. But, you know, for the player, it's 2.5 year security. I think the deal he had with Oxford was just till the end of the season. So for a player, you know, at his age, prime of his career, would certainly be in his interest to get, you know, a bit of security there. And I think it's a good signing for us. You know, he's got plenty of experience. And according to the Oxford fans, he was looking very capable.
Yeah, and also cover for Joe Jacobson as well. He's had an excellent season. A lot of people feared that he may be undone by some of the pacier wingers in the Championship, but he's been an excellent performer so far this season. Into midfield is a familiar face, Nnamdi Ofubor. The fans almost demanding it on social media as we approach the window closing. Is that a good bit of business for you as well?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, he had a bit of a rusty start last night, but you've got to remember that he's hardly kicked a ball all season. You know, we know what he's about. He knows what we're about. And, you know, certainly towards the back end of last season, certainly through the playoff campaign, he really came into his own, I thought. And, you know, I remember that performance he put in away at Portsmouth on Boxing Day where he was the best player on the pitch. He looked absolutely fantastic. And, you know, the fact that Rangers have just signed him on a 4-year deal says all you need to know, really. I think it's probably going to take him a couple of games to get up to speed, but I think, you know, he's going to be a very astute signing for the rest of the season.
Central midfield is somewhere we've really struggled in, you know, with injuries and stuff as well. And I think there was Preston away. I think we played a 4-1-5, possibly, I think the formation was, or even a 5-5. So I think it's a position we've struggled in terms of injury and fit players. You know, is he the first name on the team sheet in midfield now for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been very frustrating this season in so many ways, really. You know, you look at Dominic Gape, 5 league appearances all season. For me, he's one of the first people on the team sheet if he's fit. Curtis Thompson, 16 appearances, you know, quite a few more than Gape, but still, you know, he's hit and miss with injury from time to time. So, you know, having Ofubor come in, his youthfulness, you know, he's a strong guy who can be in the middle there. You know, he's definitely going to be a big player for us in the second half of the season. But yeah, it's been a troublesome, you know, part of the pitch for us all season, unfortunately, with injuries. Disappointed in the summer, actually. I thought we might try and sign someone who's a bit more experienced to sit in there, someone maybe with a bit more Championship experience. But on the whole, you know, I think we've done okay with what we've got so far.
And then moving up top, Admiral Musgrave on loan from Leicester. Gareth Ainsworth sort of described him as sort of coming alive in between the posts and being a real poacher. He's certainly shown all those hallmarks, and Wickham have certainly not taken all the chances they've created this season, and something hopefully in the second half of the season that Musgrave can make a name for himself.
Yeah, you definitely like to think so. I mean, you know, his goal at Brentford, although it wasn't from far out, he was in the right place at the right time, which I think is a very good thing. You know, it's about service, really. If we can get good balls into the box and we can keep getting into Uche Pezu, you know, into his feet, because I think that's where he's best at. And then hopefully we can create a few more chances in the second half of the season. But, you know, at the moment we haven't got Jacobson, so, you know, I think we're, you know, currently lacking a bit more creativity and open play. But if we can find the right combination, then, you know, there's every chance Musgrave could get a few goals for us, which I think could be vital.
And in terms of loanees, I mean, Josh Knight extended his deal for the rest of the season. There was rumours in the Leicester local press that Wickham had tried to make that permanent. He's out of a deal in the summer. I think his agents probably said, look, hold fire for a bit and see what division Wickham are going to be in, etc. But that's a great bit of business. You know, Wickham have struggled defensively, but he's been a star performer back there, I think.
He definitely has, yeah. He's been a really good signing. You know, you talk to Peterborough fans and they rave about his performances the last couple of years over there. And, you know, unfortunately, is, you know, the fact that Tafazoli got injured so early on, well, you think if he didn't, we probably wouldn't have actually signed Knight. So the fact that we've now got both of them available and Stewart coming back from injury, you think that centre-half actually looks one of our strongest, you know, parts of the pitch, really. Knight, you know, it did for a few seconds feel like we might be able to get him permanently in January, which would have been, you know, an unbelievable signing. That's probably going to be very difficult to do in the summer, especially if we go down. But, you know, we always live in hope. Ainsworth seems to pluck these signings out of nowhere sometimes. You know, you look at Gape down the years, that kind of thing. So you never know, but certainly he's a player that we're definitely fortunate to have at the moment.
And we should talk about the players that have moved on as well. I mean, Josh Parker has joined Burton. I mean, that seemed to be a good deal for all concerned, really. He wasn't getting a sniff for whatever reason at Wickham.
No, and I mean, he's a really difficult one to really analyse because, you know, he's just not been given much of an opportunity. I think the only goal he scored for us was against MK Dons in the EFL Trophy last season. You know, he's had, you know, 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there. He's never really had enough of an opportunity to stake a claim, to be honest. So I do feel a bit sorry for him. But for whatever reason, Ainsworth hasn't fancied him. And it's probably a good move for all parties, I think.
One that caused quite a stir with Wigan fans, Nick Freeman joining League Two Leyton Orient on loan for the rest of the season as well. Rob Koenig described that as a great deal for all concerned as well. Fantastic for Leyton Orient. I think he's going to do really well in League Two. But Wigan fans were saying, well, we lack creativity in midfield. Would we have been better keeping him and giving him more game time?
Yeah, again, it's a difficult one. You know, 77 appearances in 4.5 years. He's a player that's very easy on the eye. And, you know, I was looking at the report from the Orient Crawley game last night. Many people saying best player on the pitch by a mile, that kind of thing. So, you know, he's a player with a lot of ability. Again, not really been given too many opportunities this season, which has been disappointing. You know, he's got obvious quality. Whether he fits into the style of play that Ainsworth likes to go with, you know, maybe that's the question mark. And maybe that's not, you know, maybe that's why he's not been given that run of games. But, you know, he's got another year on his contract, I believe. So hopefully we haven't seen the last of him yet.
And David Stockdale yesterday joined Stevenage on an emergency loan. I think this is done sort of week by week outside of the transfer window. I mean, Ryan Allsop against Birmingham made two absolutely world-class saves in that game, the second one of which I thought he'd injured himself and thought, wow, Stockdale was playing down the road in Stevenage and Ryan Allsop might be hurt here. But he finished the game and looked absolutely fine. But Allsop's been in great form, so it's probably a good move for Stocko to get some minutes.
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think these, you know, emergency loans, as you say, are a week-by-week basis. And the fact that I know Stockdale got an appearance last week against the Brentford B team, but he's not had much game time apart from that. And as you say, you know, Allsop pulled off those two outstanding saves last night. And the second one, he looked like he might have to come off. So, you know, Curtis Anderson would have got an opportunity, but, you know, he's very inexperienced. So, you know, getting Stockdale up to match speed, I don't think that's a problem at all.
Right then, so we know what we've got. We know what Gareth has got to deal with in terms of his players and squad available to him. Last night against Birmingham, a lot of fans very frustrated that it wasn't a win. And, you know, coming off the back of a 7-2 defeat as well, you could argue a clean sheet and a point was a step forward. Was it 2 points dropped for you last night?
I mean, on the balance of play, I don't think it was, because I think Birmingham definitely had the better of it. They created those two good chances, which Allsop somehow kept out of the goal. But, you know, on paper beforehand, you look in Birmingham at home, it's a very winnable game. And obviously we went to St Andrews back in September, October time and beat them. You know, they're a team who, similar style to us, Djukovic up front, they knock the ball up long, but they can play a bit. I don't know, last night was frustrating. I think we just lacked a bit of urgency, really. We seemed, there was a lot, I know the conditions weren't the best, the pitch wasn't looking too great. And, you know, we seemed to bypass the midfield quite a lot, play the ball long, and it wasn't really working for us. I don't think we utilised Ikpeazu like we could do. But, you know, a point's a point. And after losing 7-2, it's not bad to keep a clean sheet, I don't think.
We obviously don't know the situation with how severe the COVID outbreak was at Wickham. I believe it was two players, and then because of the nature of the squad and how they kind of interact with each other, small training ground, etc., there might have been quite a few self-isolating, a few not being able to train. We just don't know what the implications were. I mean, seeing people like Daryl Horgan on the bench, Gareth McCleary, a lot of fans screaming out that we were needing a bit of magic to unlock the door, but they remained on the bench for the whole game.
Yeah, and that's it, really. I think, you know, McCleary and Horgan are probably two of our most creative players. I mean, they've got so much quality going in, but undoubtedly, I think the COVID outbreak has, I don't know if confirmed if it's affected them, but clearly they're not match sharp at the moment. So, you know, you can look back on last night and think, well, the players we had available that were fully fit, maybe that's the reason it turned out as it was. But, you know, clearly those two are going to be big players throughout the rest of the season. I think, you know, if we're going to get anywhere near getting close to surviving, they're going to have to play a key role, because without that kind of creativity and open play, it's looking quite difficult to see how we're going to carve out too many chances, to be honest.
Huge games coming up then this month for Wickham. I think the next five are all against teams in the bottom half of the table. Coming up, Nottingham Forest on Saturday. I mean, what would your sort of formation / strongest 11 be? I mean, I know Gape's probably going to be out injured as well, but you know, who would you be looking at and what sort of system would you employ?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, really. I mean, I think at the moment, Ikpeazu is the main man. I think he's looking like he's going to score goals. He looks like, you know, the partnership with him and Musque looks promising, I think. I think it's game by game, really. I think the next few, as you mentioned, are very winnable games. And I think if we're going to have any chance of staying up, we're going to have to get some serious points on the board in the next few weeks. I'd like to see Gape get back to fitness. He's had such a stop-start campaign so far. I think he's a big player, went up to speed. Curtis Thompson as well. And then obviously the latest signing in Offerball. Getting Stewart back in the team. I know that Tafazoli is a really good defender, so is Knight. I think Stewart's probably the best out of those three. And then Jacobson, you know, his deliveries from corners and set pieces generally are, you know, even at this level, you see keepers scrambling all over the place. So, you know, getting everyone back fit is important, I think. And I think we've got the players to do it, but we're just going to have to get some wins on the board very soon.
With the you mentioned those three centre-backs and the fact that Jordan Obita can play anywhere down the left, do you ever see a point this season where Wickham are going to play maybe a 3-5-2?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, really, because you look at it and you see those three centre-halves in Tafazoli, Stewart and Knight, and they're three of our best players. And there is an argument, especially if we're, you know, attacking with set pieces, corners, free kicks, to have those three up there is a hell of a threat, really, and wouldn't be particularly easy to defend against. It's whether you've got the wing-backs that want to play that system. I know Jacobson's obviously 34 now. Whether he wants to play that wing-back kind of role, I don't know. Obviously, Obita gives you that option. So there is an argument to do that, and then you could maybe have Gape, when he's back fit, sitting in front of the defence. I think that's a role that he does really well. And then maybe you can give Offerball a bit more licence just to sort of bomb on, really. I think, you know, his energy is going to be key into the back end of the season. So we've got options. I think it's just about getting a run of games where we've got a, you know, a good amount of players fit and free of illness and injury and that kind of thing. That's, we're going to need that luck that we didn't get in the first half of the season.
And looking ahead, I mean, the contract extensions, Tafazoli's signed an extended deal. He's barely played for Wickham, but when he has played, he's looked to be a good signing. David Wheeler, Curtis Thompson, Gareth McCleary. Is Rob Koenig already looking ahead to next season? I mean, I'm sure that these extensions have got those caveats in if Wickham are in League One, but regardless of what division, I mean, the continuity to have those characters around is a good thing.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, I think that's a huge positive. You know, if we were to go down, you look at the squad of players that we would have contracted for next season, you know, it's strong. And I think it's certainly a lot stronger than the squad that we had last season when we got promoted. So it's absolutely only a positive. I think the key thing would be if we were to go down, how many of them we could keep over the summer. I know that in Rob's statement yesterday, he mentioned we'd already rejected a bid for someone. We don't know who that is. But clearly there'll be some players that might be of interest in the summer. So, you know, if we go down, I mean, obviously I'm hoping very much that we don't, you know, we should be in a pretty strong position, and financially off the pitch, club's in, you know, pretty strong fetter when you compare where we were a few years ago. Remember seeing you at trust meetings, Phil, where we were sort of looking for every penny and pound behind the curtains and that kind of thing. You know, we're in a good situation at the moment off the pitch.
Absolutely. I mean, regardless of what happens this season, whether Wickham stay up or go down, an Oxford fan was speaking to me the other day, was saying, would you rather be in League One? You know, I think they've just won their seven or eight in a row. He said, well, I think we're much happier winning games week on week than getting beaten in the Championship. And my reply to him was that, well, actually, the extra money from TV for being in the Championship, with everything that's going on with the pandemic, I think has probably secured the future of Wycombe Wanderers for many seasons to come. So, yes, you know, Saturday was hard against Brentford, but those days are few and far between. And Birmingham wasn't a lot of fun, if I'm being honest, but it's been a very good season, really, regardless of being bottom of the table. So, I think with the money and stuff, I think Wickham, you're right, we're in a really good position. And if they are to go down, Wickham potentially will have one of the biggest budgets in League One, which is just going to be hilarious to see how Gareth Ainsworth deals with that, because, you know, they're going to have to rewire him.
Yeah, it's definitely potentially would be very interesting. I mean, as I say, I think an Oxford fan might say that, but you know, that day back in July when we beat them, I know we weren't there. You might have been there, Phil. I wasn't there, but you know what a day it was. You know, one of the best days of following Wickham, certainly for me. And you know, if we go down, we go down. But you know, we're building as a club. We're moving in the right direction. We've got, I think it's around 7 million TV income comes in. You know, that can keep the club going for years, really. And as I said, given where we were a few years ago, I was there at the terrace, you know, Torquay. We might not have had a club a few weeks after that. So absolutely not going to complain about a few defeats in the Championship. I think, you know, we'd be crazy to do that. And, you know, the fact is we're going to have a club. We've got a safe and secure club under good ownership. It's all positive for me.
Well, I've got to pick you up on something you said earlier on. We were talking about Josh Knight and you admitted that you speak to Peterborough fans. I mean, how's that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm Yeah, it's an interesting one, really. I mean, I listened to Darren McAntony's podcast, which is quite an interesting listen. And he always talks about what a good player he was. And, you know, I see the tweets from Alan Swan, that famous Peterborough journalist, and you know, obviously an admirer of our club. But yeah, I mean, I was interested because I was looking at Peterborough, and, you know, they've not been in the Championship since 2013. And you think about the resources they've got, all the money that's behind them. And, you know, again, it's, you know, the fact that we're up there, it's crazy, really. That, you know, they all get on their ownership's backs all the time because they're, you know, not winning games all the time. I think they lost again last night. So, you know, it's one of those, isn't it?
It certainly is. League One, I do keep an eye on League One. And with the new wage structure coming in, the pressure on Ipswich, Sunderland, is, you know, there's Peterborough, Portsmouth. If they don't get up this season, they're going to have a smaller playing budget than Wycombe Wanderers next season, which is an incredible statistic.
It is, yeah. And I was just looking at Sunderland the other day, actually, and I think in the summer they've got something like 15 players out of contract, including a certain Mr. Luke O'Nine. So, you know, a lot of these clubs are going to have to do certain, you know, restructuring and all the rest of it. And I know Portsmouth were looking very good until a few weeks ago. I think they've had a few defeats recently. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, I know we unfortunately can't get to all these fantastic Championship stadiums, but you know, potentially League One next season, you've still got some of these great clubs in there. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, the wage system, it's going to have an effect, and it does level the playing field a bit. So, you know, again, it's another positive for a club like Wickham, who haven't necessarily got those millions of pounds that they can go out and spend on players.
Well, as we said earlier, we could still be in the Championship. We never know. Football is a funny old game. It's going to be a hell of a run from here if we do stay up. But stranger things have happened, right?
They have. I mean, you know, if we were ever going to stay in this league, it was always going to be lastditch.com, and we were always going to have to pull off some unbelievable results. So, you know, we've roughly half the season left. So we can do it. We've done similar things before. Why not?
Right, that's your lot for another episode. Many thanks to Will, Vince, Gareth Ainsworth, Jeff Doyle, and you for tuning in. Nottingham Forest at Adams Park on Saturday. Massive game. Keep the faith and come on, you Blues.